I'm going fishing. Growing up, it was an annual summer tradition to head to the beach the week of the 4th of July with my dad's family. My grandparents, my aunt and uncle and cousins, sometimes even extended family, would all come down with us to the beach. My dad, my stepmom, my brother, sister, and me. And during that week together, I would lose count of the number of times I heard that phrase, "I'm going fishing." You see, my little brother Jared and our younger cousin Carson were always grabbing a pole or a net and taking off somewhere to fish. On the pier, on the beach, in the campground pond, out on a deep sea boat, in the intercoastal waterway. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am anywhere, anywhere that you could find a fish, and even some places I'm not sure you could. That is where they would be. This beach hobby of theirs took root before the boys were even old enough to venture off on their own, when they were just little guys, maybe 4 and 6. It didn't matter what time of the day or night it was, they could say, "I'm going fishing," and my papaw, my dad's dad, would get up from whichever of the two ends of the couch he had claimed as his napping spot for the week and take his boys out. Though he never had a whole lot in the way of money and things, my papaw was generous beyond measure. With his time, with his Tic Tacs, which were always in his t-shirt pocket, with his magical ability to fix seemingly anything, no matter its condition. He joined the great cloud of witnesses that we remember and celebrate today about 4 years ago now. And sometimes it feels like it has been far longer than that, and in other moments, the loss feels all too fresh. But as I hear Peter say, "I'm going fishing," on this All Saints Sunday in the midst of our stewardship season, I can't help but smile. Because there is both comfort in celebrating Papaw's continued presence with us and joy in remembering his generosity. In some ways, I think that is just the reminder that Jesus is offering his disciples in today's text from John. Having seen Jesus crucified and buried, having heard from Mary about the empty tomb, having encountered a resurrected Jesus in a locked room, it seems that the disciples are just seeking a return to some sort of normalcy, some sort of stability connected to their previous lives. And so we find them out by the Sea of Tiberias, and Peter has decided to do what he knows how to do, and that is to go fishing. And his boys, the other disciples, go with him. But even after staying out in the boat overnight, they've got nothing, not a single fish. And that is when Jesus appears on the shore. In their moment of weariness and despair, in the midst of having nothing. Although apparently Jesus must be incognito because they don't recognize him at first from afar. So this friendly stranger then offers them some practical wisdom, another strategy: try the other side of the boat. And suddenly, the fish are so abundant, they can't even haul the net in. And that is the sign that helps Peter recognize Jesus. The more than your nets can hold abundance of Christ. And his generosity doesn't stop there. When this motley crew makes it back to the beach, Jesus has a warm fire and a hot breakfast ready and waiting. There's no wine for this Eucharistic meal, for this last brunch on the beach, if you will. But there is bread, and there's fish, and there's the continued presence of the one they love, which draws them together. And as they savor the food and the company, the disciples receive a recommissioning from Jesus. They are reminded who they were originally called to be. And they're challenged to get back in the boat and try again in more ways than one. "Do you love me?" Jesus asks three times over. "Then follow me and feed my sheep," he says in response. While the fishing and shepherding metaphors are perhaps mixed, this does seem to be a continuing thread of Jesus's practical wisdom for how we might experience his generosity and participate in extending it to others. So we hear Jesus say to the disciples, "Try the other side of the boat. If you love me and your nets are empty, then do things differently. Even if you're tired or grieving or worried about the future, follow me into a new way of fishing and feeding, because there is still abundance to be shared, generosity to be practiced, and community to be built. This is the more than enough way of life to which you are being called." I can't help but be drawn to how many fish the disciples caught. 153. No matter the size, that is an enormous load of fish. Fish of all kinds, perhaps. And while any potential symbolic significance of that specific number, 153, is lost on us modern readers, the meaning of the story is not. What we see here is that when the disciples are willing to follow Jesus's practical wisdom, when they are willing to do things differently, to try a new way in the face of devastating loss and an uncertain future, to put their nets back into the sea even though they tried and had no success, then they draw in an overabundance of fish. Friends, oh, that we would be so readily willing to try new things in the face of our own loss and uncertainty, and that we might know such an overabundance as we do God's work in the world as fishers of people. Today, on All Saints Sunday, we remember the saints, our beloved departed family of faith, and we align ourselves with that chorus of witnesses who, in happiness and in difficulty, found their hope in Jesus and made their way through life as part of the kingdom of God. We remember with deep gratitude the myriad of ways in which these family members and friends shared themselves and their lives with us. And we celebrate their gifts of generosity and community that they offered. Their faithful living and stewardship inspires and enlivens our own. And we commit anew to joining the work that they have begun as we seek to build God's beloved community here and now. In the presence of the great cloud of witnesses, we are called to follow Jesus with creativity, imagination, and joy. We are called to offer generosity and build community among the tired and the lonely, the vulnerable and the poor, the silenced, those at the margins, and those most in need of love. We are called to be living, breathing blessings, both in this community of faith and outside of these doors, so that our reality, everyone's reality, is transformed, and so that all is made new. Friends, on this All Saints Day, who do you remember and celebrate? Whose continued presence and spirit among us inspires your faithful response to God's abundance and generosity? Whose life and spirit do you give thanks for as you think about your own experiences of community and belonging and love? Whoever they may be, in the company of all the saints, we're going fishing, and we're following Jesus, And we're feeding God's sheep in new and different ways. Abundance is near, dear ones. So let's have our nets ready. May it be so this day and each day. Amen.